My discussion this morning is about the LNG model, which I've shown in the quarterly, but might show more particularly with video commentaries in the time ahead. So early in the year, I was puzzling over what was happening in the LNG market, because LNG was behaving in a completely different way than oil was, be it Brent or West Texas. And Brent or West Texas are two things that I've been modelling for many years. And so I puzzled over what was going on in the LNG market. And the conclusion that I came to was that this was the competition that LNG was having with other potential fuel sources in the electricity generation market, and particularly in areas of very, very rapid growth of electricity demand. And that was particularly strong in the Indo-Pacific. So I came to the conclusion that, in fact, what was happening with the LNG market was not really about what had been happening, what everybody was talking about, which was the shortage of gas in Germany because of the Ukrainian war, but really the extensive growth in electricity demand, both for coal and for natural gas, in the Indo-Pacific, and particularly the very strong growth in India. When we talk about the competition between different sources, it's talked about in terms of BTUs, and I'll just provide some rough numbers as to how these sources compete with each other. Normal coal produces about, that's to say Indonesian coal produces about 20 million BTUs per ton. Australian coal is much better than that, about 30 million BTUs per ton. Oil produces about 40 million BTUs per ton. And natural gas, which is the most powerful of all of these commercial fuels, produces about 52 million BTUs per ton. So basically, a ton of each of these, if you're interested in carbon emissions, whichever you burn generates about 2.8 tons of CO2. So obviously, the other side of this, that if you want to minimise CO2 production, firstly you go to LNG, secondly you go to oil, thirdly you go to Australian coal, and only last of all you go to Indonesian coal, and that's important because Indonesian coal is the largest volume supplier in the market. So if you want to build, or if I wanted to build a model of this, I have these various components in the model. And I came to the view that what was actually happening was that, and this was after reading the July issue of the International Energy Agency coal report, that what was happening with you was you were having an absolutely enormous demand of increase in coal demand in India, and it was squeezing out and pushing up the price of that, which was interacting with what was happening with LNG. And the data in the report, which was released in July, was that in 2021, India, for the first time, burnt over a billion tonnes of coal, 1.05 billion tonnes of coal, and three quarters of that was for electricity. The increase in the demand for that was a rather amazing 12%, or 117 million tonnes. It was just a vast amount that India had increased its demand for coal for in that year because of its electricity demand. And that was being followed up this year by a 9% increase in coal-fired demand in India, particularly in the first quarter, and this was supposed to be 7% in the second quarter. So after a very, very strong increase in demand for coal in India for electricity generation in the in 2021, you were following up something which was amazingly strong, but not quite as strong this year. And both of this was sort of kind of squeezing out, competing with energy in a world in which Europe was trying to get more coal to replace the gas that it had lost. And so that generated an enormous premium. The first thing it did was it generated an enormous premium for Australian coal over other coal because of the higher energy level. But in turn, generated an even stronger upward pressure on LNG. So the combination was that Australian coal and LNG were being forced up to multiples, a number of times higher than their normal long-term prices, which is exactly what's happened and what was so extraordinary. And those prices were rising dramatically relative to the price of oil, which I'd been used to modelling, which is why I had difficulty understanding it. So what you've then got is a model based on those components of LNG, which is in the quarterly. And I'll show an updated version of that model together with the video of this presentation. And currently what the model shows is that the model explains about 76% of monthly variation of the monthly LNG price. The LNG price that I'm showing is an IMF measure, which is based on exports of Indonesian LNG to Japan. And currently, the most recent published price was 54 million BTUs per... $54 per BTU. That's about five times the price that it was a year and a half ago. And what the model says is that it should vary going forward between 52 and 47. That is to say, it goes sideways at this very, very high level for LNG. And that that price continues as far as the model can see, which is a few months ahead of where we are right now. So what you've got is, in my view, it's not what in my view of the model. It's not just what's happening in Europe. It's not just what's happening in Ukraine or what Russia is doing. It is that this is happening at the same time as you have very, very strong structural demand for energy because of electrification of the Indo-Pacific. And those things moving together at the same time are driving up the price of, have driven up the price of Australian coal and driven up the price Australian LNG. And because those factors are not going away, you're continuing to have strong growth for electricity demand in the Indo-Pacific. You have strong supports for those prices remaining through the year. I will, of course, update this model at least every quarter, but probably more frequently as we go through the year. Are there any questions?